Our scripture today comes from the book of John, chapter 14, and we're going to read verses 12 through 23. This is the New International Version. I may have a few words differently than what's on the screen. You're welcome to follow along on the screen. You're welcome to follow along in your personal Bible. Or, as I invited you last Sunday, if you want to just close your eyes and let the words fall on your ears and your heart, that is certainly appropriate as well. So John chapter 14. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, we invite you here in this moment. Rise up in our hearts and fill this space. Open our ears, Lord, to hear your word and know your voice. Speak to our hearts and strengthen our wills that we may serve you today, now and always. Amen. Have I ever shared with you all about the moment that I fell in love with Alex Carey? Have I told you that story? I know I've told you before about how we met, an awkward basketball game and high school kids pointing to him and pointing to me and the rose on my car. Oh, he's a stalker, all of that. I've told you that before. We can go back and find it if you want to hear the story. But I don't think I've ever shared with you how the rest of that played out. And it is relevant today, I promise. So after a few weeks of unrelenting phone calls and requests from him, you know, I finally gave in and said, fine, we'll go on a date. And my full intention was, I'm going to prove to him that this is not going to work. And so one date, and then he'll know this is done. It's not going to happen. So he picked me up in his white Monte Carlo. And we went where I'm sure many first dates have taken place. Red Lobster. I mean, what's more romantic than, you know, live lobsters awaiting their death by steam bath? Isn't that great? But as we waited in the lobby, we were sitting, and there was an older man and his wife sitting next to us, and for whatever reason, they struck up a conversation with us. I don't know if we looked nervous and they thought they needed to make us feel better or what the deal was, but so kind, this man. And I don't know his name. I don't even remember what we talked about, but I remember his kindness, and I still remember what he looked like. And apparently, he and his wife had been waiting longer than we had because their little buzzer went off before ours did. And as they stood up to leave, well, there's Alex now. He's like, I did get permission to tell this story first. As they got up to leave, he and I noticed something. And he looked at me and I looked at him. And what we saw was on the back of the man's pants, that long, narrow sticker that tells everyone the size that you wear. And he apparently was wearing his new pair of pants to impress his wife, you know. And he just had been so kind to us. And we were kind of like, what do you do? Like, do you tell him? And it all happened very quickly, but it felt like time stood still. And I watched as the man went to walk away. Alex silently reached up and grabbed a hold of the corner of that sticker and just held on as the man walked away. And that, my friends, was the moment that I fell head over heels in love with Alex Carey. And I'm not even joking. You can't make that up, you know? And at the time, like, I was a Christian, but I was not a Jesus follower. I did not attend church, you know? That whether or not he was a Christian and a Jesus follower truly was not on my radar. It wasn't a conversation that I even cared to have with him at the time. But what I recognized in him in that moment was exactly what I think Jesus would have done. Don't you think Jesus would have reached out and held on to that sticker and never said, hey, guess what? I'm a good person and I'm impressing this girl. He didn't do that. He noticed a need, as minor as it was, and he met the need. And now he's done a whole lot of things that are not like Jesus since then. As have we all. But we all have that potential to do what Jesus did, right? And to be who he created us to be. And so as we wrap up our series on prayer today, that's exactly what I want to delve into in this message. And our scripture focuses on this very thing. So in this chapter of John, we have Jesus and his disciples, and they're in the upper room. Okay, this is the same night that he is betrayed. He has washed their feet, and he is demonstrating for him what it means to be a servant leader, what it means to really love people. And he's sharing with them what is about to happen, and he's instructing them on what they need to do. And, of course, they don't know what he's talking about. I mean, he's making it very clear to them, guys, I'm leaving. Like, I'm going to be out of here. And they don't get it. But he's really, really clear, and he says, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me, whoever has faith in me, will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. I think we need to sit on that for a minute, because I wonder what those disciples were thinking in that moment. Whoever believes in me, you're going to do the very things that I've been doing, and even greater things. And I can imagine that these disciples in their minds are running through, well, what have we seen Jesus do? Well, we've seen him heal blindness. We've seen him heal leprosy. We've seen him heal paralysis. We've seen him drive demons out of people. We have seen him walk on water. We've seen him calm a deadly storm. We've seen him raise somebody from the dead. We've seen him take a tiny amount of food and multiply it to feed thousands. Jesus, you're telling us we're going to do all of those things? Bless you. Can you imagine that? They're already confused enough. And now he's saying to them, you're going to do all this stuff too. Aren't they wondering how on earth? This guy's crazy. He's telling us he's going to leave us, and we're going to step in and do all this stuff. He's nuts. It's not going to happen. We're fishermen. We're tax collectors. We're a bunch of nobodies, and we aren't touching anyone. But he's telling them to do the same with a promise. And this is where we get tripped up a little bit. And this is what they didn't understand. Because he says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. What is the Spirit of Truth? It's the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And Jesus knew their thoughts. You know, he knew their questions. He knew their humanity. And what he's saying to them is, guys, don't focus on the miracles. Don't worry about that part. Focus on where the power comes from. The same power that's in me to do all of these incredible things, I'm going to send it to you. God's going to send it to you. And you're going to be able to do so much more. And with that power, you're going to do works of healing. And you're going to do works of provision, and you're going to do works of mercy, and you're going to do works of grace, and you're not going to understand it, but I'm telling you, the Spirit's going to come, and you're going to be able to do so much. And what they still couldn't understand at the time, they would later experience at Pentecost, when Jesus had ascended, and the Holy Spirit came and filled each of them, and they left their hiding, speaking in the tongues of many nations. And on that very day, 3,000 people came to be believers. And then they went and began their ministry, and they did do works of healing, and they did do works of provision. They did everything that Jesus had predicted, not because they were able, but because the Spirit was at work through them to make all of those things possible. And it required tremendous belief and tremendous obedience on their part. But it happened, and it's truth. And if we think for a second that Jesus' words to the disciples were for them only and not for us, then we are kidding ourselves. Because today, this very moment, Jesus says also to us, if you believe in me, you, people sitting in Hillside United Methodist Church, and you, people all over the world who believe in me, will do the same things that I did, and you will do even greater things. And I don't know about you, but I say, how? My hands have never miraculously healed another person. And I can make Hamburger Helper go a really long way. And you throw in some rice, right? But I've never fed thousands. And I've prayed for the dead to come to life. And it hadn't happened. How about you? You like that, Pastor Curtis? I got your how about you in there. So what are we missing? If we aren't performing miracles, how are we to do the works of Jesus? If this is what he's telling us and we believe that it's true, then where are we going wrong? And here's what I think we need to remember. Jesus noticed people, didn't he? Everywhere he went, whether someone came right up in his face or not, he noticed people. And he noticed what was needed. He noticed where they were hurting or where they were failing or where they were in need. He saw it and he noticed it. He saw what was right in front of him. And if there were hungry people in front of him, what did he do? He fed them. And if there were hurting people in front of him, he healed them. And if there were sad people in front of him, he comforted them. And if there were demon-possessed people in front of him, he went straight to them and did not run away from the mess that they were bringing before him. He entered into all of it, and he noticed all of it. And we have become experts at not noticing, haven't we? It all goes back to that distraction that we talked about last week. And we've gotten really, really good at choosing not to see what's in front of us, because then if we notice and we acknowledge, well, we might have to do something about it. And so if we say, well, I didn't see it, then we're off the hook, right? How many of us, myself included, often don't even look in the face of a person who's standing on the corner with a sign anymore? Maybe because of assumptions that we've made about the situation that they're in. Maybe because we don't want to deal with how we're going to feel inside if we look at them. This is a funny story. I was in Florida in June. This is the first time I've ever seen this. We were driving, and there was a guy with a sign that said, I'm not going to lie, I just want beer. And I'm not even joking, somebody stopped and gave him money. And I just thought, you know, there is something for honesty. Like, at least he's just putting it out there. Does anybody else not watch the news anymore? I don't. I don't watch the news because it hurts me. And I don't want to know. Because if I know, then I feel like I got to do something about it. But Jesus, he expects us to notice. He expects us to notice, to not turn away. I love in Matthew 25, you have the story of the sheep and the goats. Do you know this one? Where he says, there's going to come a day where y'all are going to fit into two kinds of people. Some of you are going to be the sheep, and some of you are going to be the goats. And based on what we know about Jesus, which of these do we want to be for our shepherd? We want to be the sheep. And he says, then the king will say to those on his right, his sheep, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. And some translations say you did to me. Not just for me, but to me. Recognizing that we are each the image of God, the image of Jesus. He wants us to notice the hungry and the sick and the imprisoned and the thirsty and the naked. And he says, if you don't, you're not my sheep. Because this is where the shepherd is leading you. And maybe you do notice all of those things, but you just feel powerless. And you say, I'm one person. I have my own issues. I have my own financial struggles. I have my own time issues. I have my own stuff going on. I have no time. I have no money. I have no spiritual authority. I'm just sitting here in church. And all of that may be true. But as believers in Jesus Christ, you have exactly what you need. Now, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you don't. So don't worry about it. You're off the hook for right now. But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, what do you have residing in you from the moment you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? You have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ had that allowed him to take notice and to meet the needs of the people that he came in contact with. You do. Do you know we are in a better position today to serve God than the disciples did when Jesus was alive? We can do more for God today than the disciples could do when Jesus was alive. Have you ever thought of that, about that before? Because they were following him, but what power or authority did they have? They had none until he died and was resurrected and ascended to heaven, sending the Holy Spirit to them. Now, I don't know about you, but that blows my mind. Because I'm oftentimes kind of jealous of the disciples. I want to hang with Jesus. But you know what? The disciples, they couldn't really do anything until he was gone. The Holy Spirit was with Jesus when he performed every single miracle and healing, and that same Spirit lives in us today, this very moment. But it looks different in us than what it looked in Jesus, because Jesus was God, and frankly, newsflash, we are not. You need to be reminded of that every now and then, right? So how does the Holy Spirit work today? Well, we go back to the story that I shared with the kids. Jesus feeds the 5,000. We focus on the miracle. Wow, he took 2 fish and 5 loaves, and he fed more than 5,000, because as we all know, the 5,000 were the men who were counted, not to mention the women and the children who were there as well, and were fed also because Jesus would have fed them as well. We say, wow, Jesus. But who do we overlook? We overlook the little boy. Wow, little boy who could have gone and hidden a corner and eaten his lunch. He knew if I give this to Jesus, he's going to do something with it. He's going to do incredible things with it. You know, it was an obedience to the nudge in that little boy's heart that caused him to give what he had to Jesus and therefore feed those thousands and thousands of people. And I think what the Holy Spirit looks like in us is that nudge. Sometimes it's that stir in your heart. Sometimes it's that still small voice in your mind. Sometimes it's a person in front of you that you feel so much compassion for. And that, my friends, is the nudge of the Holy Spirit. I know sometimes people say, well, I've never felt the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you have. You have when your heart has broken for someone or for a situation, or when you have just felt inexplicably moved to do something. But the problem is if we distract ourselves and we put our blinders on, we aren't going to feel that because we aren't allowing him to move in our hearts. And so if we want to do this work that Jesus is telling us we will do, we have to take off the blinders and we have to listen to that nudge. It's that nudge that says, I love God and I love people. Now, don't mistake guilt or shame for the nudge of the Holy Spirit, because they are not the same. So I'm just going to tell you, if you're driving down the road and you see the person with the sign and you think, I should stop because I feel guilty, don't stop, because that's not God. But if you drive by and you say, I love God and I love people and he's a person that God created, then you stop and you meet the need in the way that the Spirit tells you is the way to meet it. And the thing that we need to remember, and the way that this relates to prayer, is that what I have found is that most often when that nudge of the Holy Spirit moves, it is an answer to another person's prayer. You know, we focused a lot on our personal prayer relationship with God and how do we submit to him and how do we share our requests with him and how do we honor and worship him. But today, this is about answering someone else's prayer. And so often that nudge that you feel is because someone has sent a prayer that you don't even know about, but God, for whatever reason, is calling you to be the answer to it. And so maybe that nudge is a person on your heart. You think, I need to make a phone call. I need to make a visit. I need to send a card. That's the Holy Spirit. And we say, oh, no, that's just me loving somebody. No, that's the Holy Spirit. And very likely that phone call or that visit or that card is answering a prayer that someone has lifted up and said, God, I'm lonely. God, I need to know that somebody cares today. Or that nudge to put a little extra in the plate or to give to somebody who's collecting a fundraiser outside of Walmart or whatever it may happen to be. That nudge, well, this month's tight, but I can do $5. That's the Holy Spirit moving in you to answer somebody else's prayer. He is the great multiplier, after all. And that nudge to just be with somebody, you know, what we call the ministry of presence. You may think, I have no words, but I feel like I need to just go be there. Go be there. That's the Holy Spirit who has called on you to answer somebody else's prayer. And the question is, do we trust that when we offer up even what little bit we have, that the Spirit's going to use it and that he's going to multiply it and that he's going to make it work? I hope that you do, because that's the faith that little boy had when 5,000 people were fed from his lunch. And the thing is, and Andy Stanley says this all the time, and I love this. He says, you don't know what hangs in the balance of another person's life. You don't know what hangs in the balance of another person's mental, emotional, physical, financial, spiritual life when you choose whether or not to be obedient to that nudge. You can't know what hangs in the balance. And so the question is, will you be obedient to it? And then see the miracle that will be worked through it. You know, we have the opportunity today to be part of something pretty incredible that we call our Two Fish, Five Loaves ministry, which I know in the Bible it's five loaves first and then two fish, but I like Two Fish, Five Loaves. I think it sounds better. And you probably walked in here today and said, my gosh, everything changes every week, and now we've got big tables down the middle. Well, this is just for today. School has started, and we know that in North Gibson that we have a high percentage of kids. Nearly half of our kids are on free and reduced lunch in schools and textbooks as well, which means that we have a lot of kids in North Gibson who come from families that have a difficult time providing the basic needs for their families. And so we have a mission in this church, the Two Fish, Five Loaves mission, that steps in during the school year to try to help that. And the idea is that when we each are a small part of that, you know, none of us alone can feed all of these kids, right? But in little bitty pieces, that gets multiplied. And this year, this is our first week, we already have 68 kids in just K through fifth grade that we are going to be sending food home for the weekends. And I can tell you that number will grow over the course of the year as new families get identified, as new families come into the school corporation. Amy, do you remember how many we ended up with last year? I think it was almost 80 by the end of last year. And we're starting, I think, with more this year than what we started with last year. So the need is increasing. It is not going away. And so what you're going to have the opportunity to do today is to be one of those people who is a Two Fish, Five Loaves people. And you're going to get to fill a bag that's going to go to a kid in North Gibson who probably eats pretty well during the week because they get a lunch, a hot lunch at school, but they may not have enough to eat at home on the weekends. And so today, during this time, when we have our closing song, we're going to lead you down the tables to fill the bags. And what you'll see is at the back, that's where you will start, and there will be a bag. There'll be somebody there to help you get a bag. And you'll be able to go down either side of the tables, and it's going to tell you how many of each item to put into that bag. And what this is what will physically go home with a kid on Friday to feed them for the weekend. And so you'll see that you're going to put 2 bottles of water in there because we are health conscious and kids need water. And we have some kids in North Gibson who don't have water access in their home because maybe their water has been turned off. And you'll put 2 juices in there because kids love juice, right? And it's great with breakfast. And it's sweet and it tastes good. And we want them to feel good. And you're going to put in some oatmeal and you're going to put in some cereal. So they are going to have breakfast on Saturday and on Sunday. And you're going to put in some macaroni and cheese because who doesn't love macaroni and cheese? Kids need macaroni and cheese. And they need ramen noodles. And they need a couple of microwave meals too because they need hot food that their parents don't have to contribute in any way to for them to be able to eat. You put in water, which could come from the bottles, and the kid has a meal to eat that's going to fill their belly. And they're going to get some fruit, and they're going to get some vegetables, and they're going to get some snacks, some crackers, and some gummies. And all of this ends up getting tied up. And on a Thursday, these get delivered to the schools, and on Friday, they go home with the kids so that we know that their bellies are full at least on Saturday and Sunday till they come back and they have that hot meal again on Monday. And we do this every week. We won't do this every week. But we pack these every Sunday after second service, and this is something anybody can be a part of, okay? And we wanted to make sure that you know that. This is something that your missions team supports. This is something that you can become personally involved with by being a sponsor. And at the end of the service, Janelle's going to be at a table back there. It says 2 Fish, 5 Loaves sponsorship, and you're going to have the opportunity, if you choose, to basically make a covenant to sponsor one of these 68 kids for the entire school year. And you can do it a few different ways. You can do a one-time $200 gift that covers one child's meals for the entire school year. You can covenant to do $25 a month. It takes $25 a month to feed one child for each weekend of the school year. We'll even help you set up auto deduction if you want to do that. And if you don't want to do that, we'll ask for your email or cell number so we can send you a gentle monthly reminder. Hey, these kids need you. And I'm going to be honest with you, this mission is going to happen regardless. Whether you all decide to sponsor kids or not, we will still do this mission because we believe it is that important. But this is an opportunity for you to say, this is important to me personally, and I want to make sure that there are kids in North Gibson who are being fed on the weekend. And my little bit is going to be multiplied and contribute to a whole lot of greater good in this community. So that's 2 Fish, 5 Loaves. So what we're going to do is I'm going to invite Sandy to come up to lead us in our closing hymn. And we are going to begin at the back. Amy, who's going to be kind of posted at the back of the tables? Okay. So Caitlin and Kendall will be at the back, and they will hand out bags. And you just go down the tables and fill your bag with the number of items requested, if you are able. Okay? And then you're just going to bring them up here. And I think Amy and Becky will be up here taking the bags, and then we will pray over them. So you'll be able to see all the bags that you have packed today. And we're just going to ask that you start at the back of the worship center. So if you're in the back row or in the back table, if you are able and would like to, we would invite you at this time to go to these center tables and fill some bags for some kids who are hungry. Thank you. Have a seat and we'll pray over. We don't have to do all of them because second service is going to do them too. So if you filled one, you finish what you're doing and then we're going to pray over them really quickly. Much for helping to fill these bags. Second service will do this as well. I just want to pray over these really quickly, and then we will send you on your way on this gorgeous day. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for this place. We give you thanks for opportunity. We give you thanks for the gift of the Holy Spirit who nudges us to meet the needs of others. And we pray over every one of these bags, over every item of food that's going to go to hungry children. And we just pray, Father, that as their bellies are filled and nourished, that they will feel the love of Jesus Christ, that they will know that they matter, that they are cared about. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory, Father, that we get to be part of that. Father, give us eyes that notice and give us courage to respond to the nudge of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you. Go in peace. Thank you all so much. Have a great week.